that
Do y'all have
film,
Elf
man.
on the Shelf over there?
We have, however, this year, no. No, not coming, COVID. hasn't been double boosted, hasn't been double jabbed or boosted, so.
There you go. My wife had said something the other day. She was making fun of me. I'm short. And she was making fun of me saying something about, can the elf borrow my clothes? Or I don't know, something stupid like that. I said, keep it up. I said, instead of Elf on the Shelf, I said, you're going to be the bitch in the ditch.
What's up, Hoodat Nation, and welcome to the Dome Patrol United Saints Podcast. What's up, Hoodat Nation, and thanks for joining us on the Dome Patrol United Podcast Network. I'm your host, Jeff, and my drunk scale rating is a zero because I've only drank one beer, but I am working on my second, and they are pretty strong IPAs. This one's called the Devil's Harvest. It's from,
oh, I thought you were gonna say the Devil's Anus.
No,
it's a breakfast IPA.
It's
nice.
Called a breakfast IPA, which means it's meant to be drunk in the morning. So, James, and it's brewed in I want to say Jackson, Mississippi. I picked it up when we went to visit Hattiesburg, Mississippi. It's not the best, but I have them and I'm going to drink them. All right. The Saints completely annihilated the Bucks in a way that is starting to become tradition. It's led to all sorts of fun memes and stats that will surely bring up. We're going to bring up on this week's episode. Tom Brady is getting dragged through the mud, especially by Shannon Sharp. Did you see Shannon Sharp's clip about Tom Brady? I loved it. Thanks to his childish behavior in response to his inability to do just about anything on Sunday night. The Saints defense has shown that they are the force to be reckoned with, and their Christmas gift to the Hoodat Nation, hope. So we're going to talk about all that. Put your seatbelts on, keep your hands and legs inside your earbuds at all times, and enjoy the show. Jason, welcome to the show. What's your number?
No number today. I'm at work. Is there some sort of Star Wars theme in there?
Like the Force Awakens?
And hope.
Oh, wow. You're right. It was unintentional, but yes. And cue the Star Wars music. James, welcome to the show. What's your number?
I am zero. I got 2 days left at work, so I'm taking it easy. So yeah.
Zero. Are you working from home still? From
No, in the office this week.
Okay.
Yeah. Although I think post Christmas we will be back in working from home lockdown scenarios.
Nice. All right. Do you prefer that, or you prefer to go to the office?
Prefer to go to the office, to be honest.
Yeah.
People, humans. People, but also the room I'm in now, which is my office at home, is also where my Xbox is. So during the day I'm working, and then if I want to play on my Xbox in the evening, I'm in the same room that I've been in all day. So,
yeah. You know. Ah, yeah.
Or like if you want to play Xbox during the day.
Well, yeah, that is a risk. That is a risk. I mean, literally, the Xbox is there. There it is, right behind me.
So, yeah. I did download Halo Online. I just haven't turned it on yet.
Full game's available now, Jeff, so you're about 2 weeks late on that.
Scott, welcome to the show. What's your number?
I also do not have a number. I am working. So no number for me right now.
You're working really hard, I can tell.
I am.
All right, he's working on his Festivus poll.
I am. I was looking to see. It's season 9, episode 10.
He really was.
I was trying to find out what episode and season it was on.
Season 9, episode 10. Thank you.
So let's get into the game recap. Today's game recap intro is brought to you by Jono Barnes. We got this video from his YouTube, and you can follow him at Jono Barnes on Twitter.
"'Twas the week before Christmas, when all through Tampa Bay, not a cannon was firing, and all their fans were stupidly wearing red. The NFC South champion shirts were stored off in care, in hopes that a win soon would be there. The fans were snuggled all in their seats, with We Dat jokes in the drafts of their tweets. And Brady in his makeup and Bruce in his Kango cap rushed to the field, not knowing that ass was about to get waxed. When out in the tunnel, there arose such a clatter. Bucks fans rose to their feet to see what was the matter. When what to Bucks fans wondering eyes should appear, but a team for the badasses and an all too familiar cheer. With no Peyton or Jameis, yet no excuses or complaints, they knew in a moment, it must be those Saints. More rapid than Falcons, the defense they came, and Dennis Allen whistled and shouted and called them by name. Now DeMario, now Chauncey, now Jordan and Quan, on Davenport, on Lattimore, on Jenkins and Bond, to the top of their field, like a black and gold storm. Now sack away, sack away, sack away Tom. As dry leaves that before that wild hurricane fly, when they hit Mr. Brady, to the refs he would cry. So sideline to sideline, they ran and they flew, with turnovers galore, and Garner Johnson talking shit too. And then, in a twinkling, they heard the analysts give their expertise. For all of them picked the Bucks to win, except for the GOAT Drew Brees. As Bucks fans began to wonder if the Saints were their father, down the uprights came field goals from one Brett Maher. He was dressed in white and gold from his head to his foot. And who would have known that 9 points would be all that it took? A bundle of three and outs gave the Bucks a chance to come back. But tried as he might, Brady could not escape the sacks. His eyes, how they twinkled, his dimples, how mad. His face red like roses as he threw his Microsoft tablet iPad. His droll little mouth cursed out the team, and the tears in his eyes was that of Saints fans' dreams. He lost his wide receivers, those injuries they felt. And Saints fans laughed when they saw him, in spite of themselves. I mean, seriously, cry me a river, Bucks fans. Have you seen our injury report all season? As the Saints celebrated, while the stadium sat there stunned in their all red, soon let the Bucks fans know the result would be something they all dread. Saints fans said not a word. They knew Tampa was light work. As Bucks fans grew angrier and called us some jerks. They cried how they win the games that matter, and how getting swept was their goal. And blah, 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 something about this game being a Saints Super Bowl. I mean, they said that in October too. Don't they know you can't use that joke twice if you... Never mind. The fans headed for the exits as the Bucks offense begged for survival. But Bucks fans sadly realized they will never be our rival. But they heard the Saints exclaim as they danced off the field, "Happy Christmas to all. Hey Bucks fans, we just swept you with Trevor Siemian and Taysom Hill."
You all did a fantastic job on the instant reaction two-point conversion of celebrating the win. You really absorbed most of the talking points, so some of them will be a revisit. But overall, this was a defensive game on both sides of the ball, right? Domination on the Saints side of the ball. The jokes about Carl Smith, you know, us not having an offense, Taysom Hill looking bad or playing poorly, and then he's yet going to get credit for playing better than he really did. But then you all said something like Kamara couldn't run against the Bucks D.
No, he had 18 yet, yards.
I don't know. I felt like in the first half he ran good relative to the fact that we're playing against the Bucks defense. I don't know. I felt like the Saints offense was playing as good as we could have wanted them to. And maybe that was because we had the lead, and maybe it was because the defense was.
Yeah, I mean, their run defense, Tampa's run defense is one of the top run defenses in the league. So you had to figure it was going to be tough sledding. And you would have to also think that the game plan for Tampa would be take out Kamara, you know, not hurt him, but take him out of the game plan to make Taysom Hill beat you. And I guess technically he did.
And he couldn't. He had a couple of good throws. He had some, like I said the other day, he had a lot of inaccurate throws.
A lot of inaccurate throws. There were many passes that he threw that just, you know, were behind people. Kamara, there was a couple to him that were behind him where if he hits Kamara in stride, you know, it could go for a big gain. But there are also a couple passes that, you know, the tight ends dropped that should have been caught.
It's just it's easy to spot when you see this after having the most accurate passer in NFL history for the last 15 years.
Yeah, I didn't watch the game live. I had work Monday morning early, so I got up, DVR'd it, got up early and watched it. But obviously, when I woke up probably about 3:30 in the morning our time, and I couldn't resist checking what the score was to decide whether I was going to keep my alarm early to watch it or get, you know, to do it. And it was like, that would have been probably start of the fourth quarter. And it said NO6 TB nil. And I was just like, what?
Yeah, clearly I'm not awake yet.
Let me rub my eyes a little bit.
I literally just put my phone back. And then because I was intrigued by it, I couldn't go back to sleep. And I was checking my phone every couple of minutes. So I might as well have just got up and watched the last quarter. But I didn't want to then jinx it because I hadn't watched any of it beforehand. But watching the highlights or fast forwarding and going through it, you know, it looked like Taysom had a pretty good link up with Callaway. Callaway had his best game of the season, was 112 mm-hmm. yards on 6 catches. Mm-hmm. All right, I know one of the passes was massively underthrown.
Yes. It was right. So funny to, I think we talked about it. It was so funny to hear the announcer be like, oh, look at the genius on this play that Callaway and Taysom are on in sync. I'm like, no, dude, that was just.
Well, he was praising Taysom for the throw when it's really praise Callaway for the catch, you know, for.
Yes.
Callaway's like, I've seen this movie before. I know what's about to happen.
He has. But there was one particular.
That's the move, actually. Overrun and then back out. So you're.
Come back. Yeah. There was one particular pass to Kamara that had he have hit Kamara properly with that, he was gone. It was a touchdown. There was nobody anywhere near, and he hit him in the back. Just
y'all touched on that about kind of Kamara maybe showing a little frustration with Taysom. And I hope it doesn't turn into anything. Kamara is a, you know, usually happy guy, and I don't think it would let him bother him. But I would kind of start to get, I mean, eventually he's going to start cutting into his money, right? Because he's got a performance.
He's got his extension.
Okay.
I mean, I guess unless he's got bonuses tied up and touchdowns and stuff, well, yeah. But
I think he realizes, Kamara, that this is a one season kind of thing. Like, he just needs to get through this season, and then, you know, it'll get better. Every player is going to show, I guess, some emotion in the heat of the moment. But after the game, I think Kamara's so chill and just laid back that he kind of just lets that stuff go after the game's over.
Yeah.
Like, he's even tweeted several times, like, he'll tweet something like vague and everybody's like asking questions like, what does this mean? What does this mean? And he's like, why do y'all think everything's about football? He's like, everything I tweet is not about football. Like, he's specifically said that. So nice. I think when he's not on the field, like, he's not even thinking about.
Well, it's kind of like you step away from work. Are you thinking about work all the time? Or are you
constantly?
Right. Your boss doesn't listen to the podcast, Scott. One other thing I have to say, I stumbled across the Reddit thread of the post game just talk, and this is like, it's gold, right? I don't know if anybody watches on TikTok, but the guy talking about the 4 inches of snow, and it's a TikTok video that's just on fire right now about
it snowed 4 inches last night. Is that a lot, ladies? Or no, you need like more. That's what am I? That's nothing. That's like no snow. It's average. Is it average?
The video is great enough, but the comments are even better. The Reddit thread, like, the game was great. The thread is gold. I mean, like, just some of the things I want to read on. Like, I did not have Sean Paytonless Saints led by Taysom Hill shuts out Brady on my bingo card. I mean, and again, Jason, I love your Collinsworth impression on the 2-point conversion instant reaction show. And you're like, how pathetic is NBC and Chris Collinsworth that they're going to sit there and make every excuse for the Buccaneers, ignoring the fact that the Saints' entire season has been without, well, not entire season, but you know what I mean. Jameis Winston.
Pretty much, yeah.
You're missing Sean Payton. 20-some-odd players on and off the roster because of health issues.
We're almost missing our entire offense. They're missing three players.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. And not even the entire game. They started the game with their players. At least they got them for some of the quarters.
Right.
Right.
I mean, get over you. And I thought Tom Brady was so great that it wouldn't matter. In fact, he kind of actually, I felt like he played better without Godwin in the game. Like when Godwin went out, I felt like he completed more.
No, I think he was equally shitty.
Okay.
I mean, you would think he'd be used to it. He never really had too many great wide receivers in New England. But the difference is he's not playing in the AFC South. He's playing in the NFC South. And the competition's a little bit steeper here, apparently.
There's something in the regular – the last four regular season games. I mean, even in the playoff game, until Jared Cook did what he did, we were winning that game. And had we gone and scored on that drive, it would have been two scores ahead. But there's something about I can't put my finger on it. Is it Dennis Allen's game plan? He knows how to defend – Brady, you know, you have to get pressure with rushing four. I mean, you know, the defensive line on Sunday night was as good as I've seen a defensive line play for quite a while. The coverage, you know, the secondary was really good. Brady sees ghosts when he plays against us in the regular season, and it's not a fluke that we've won four games in a row in a regular season against them.
Opening the game with the almost would-be interception was probably like, because you would think like that set the tone right there in talking about being inside Brady's head. Like he's walking into the game. He's like, all right, we're not going to have that kind of game today. We're not going to have that game. Interception.
Son of a bitch. Give me a drink.
Back in it. You know what I mean? Like, and then that probably fucked him for the rest of the game. Because psychologically, the Saints have got me again. And then we pressure him, we hit him, we sack him. I agree. Like they're definitely in his head. I also wonder, like, do you believe that Dennis Allen, maybe in like hyping up the defense, pumping them up, was kind of saying like, look, you're my crew. Like, right. The defense is his one third of the team. This is us. I'm now the head coach. Don't let me down. Like, this is our game. This is us to shine. I'm the head coach today. And that they stepped up for him as much as the moment. But,
I mean, I would say that, but they've done this four consecutive regular season games. This isn't the first time they've done it.
Yeah, but this one was like special because it was Tampa Bay and Brady. Like, it's the best offense in the league. It's Tom Brady.
I know.
And they made them look like
four times in a row.
The Jets performed better against us than the Buccaneers did.
Our last two games in Tampa in the regular season is now, the score is 47-3 in the last two regular season games in Tampa when they've had Tom Brady.
In Tampa,
yeah, 47-3. It was 38-3 last year, wasn't it? And then obviously 9-0. nine, I still can't,
we
still
didn't
can't
really,
say that.
It didn't really nine change nil. Much. Majority of those points were scored last year.
But that, I mean, that's unheard of. That's two games at home, Tom Brady hasn't scored a touchdown against us.
We, as a defense, just typically play well with quarterbacks that aren't mobile. I mean, Cam Jordan made a joke after the game when they were interviewing him, like, oh yeah, we know how fast and mobile Brady is. Like, they know that he's just going to sit back there. And when you have somebody like that who can't run, is just going to sit back there. You just pin your ears back and you just go. You don't have to worry about him getting by you because he doesn't have the speed. It'll be interesting to see how they play next week versus Tua because he's more of a mobile quarterback. That might give them some issues like Justin Fields did.
Well, they do seem to play up against, you know, when they play Tampa every year. But then again, this year we also have losses to the Giants and the Falcons. Like, that's something that worries me, is that we got so up for this game. We did really well. We got to keep that intensity for these next few games. And I know at least now it is the playoff stretch, so you'd like to think that they're going to be focused. But it still does seem to be an issue where we play up and down based on who the competition is.
Right.
And
well, hopefully they see Miami as an up game, because Miami's not who they were at the beginning of the season.
No. I mean, they've won, what, seven straight?
Yeah. So we'll get into that.
I've got some stuff on Miami for the game preview. So
he's 5-5 against the Saints. When he was with the Patriots, they were 4-1 against us. With the Bucs, they're 1-4 against us. When he was with the Patriots, he threw for 1,400 total yards. With the Bucs, he's thrown for 1,200 total yards. 11 touchdowns with the Patriots, 8 with the Bucs, 3 interceptions with the Patriots, 8 interceptions with the Bucs.
Yeah, he's thrown at least one interception a game. Well, it's right. nearly two interceptions a game, isn't it, against us?
Yeah. And the two of them that he threw when he was with the Patriots was the 0-9 game that he got benched. All right,
let's talk about CJGJ.
We need to talk about him.
So he recently tweeted that he wants to be mic'd up.
Yes. Yep. I would pay for that. I really literally would pay money for that.
That is
I can't think that they'll ever allow it, but it would be brilliant. It would be brilliant.
Like, he's just going to be talking shit the whole time. Like, even if he doesn't curse, that would be even better. If he didn't say one single curse word, but just talk smack the whole game, just saying stupid stuff and like your mama jokes or something, and getting under people's skin that way. Like, there's got to be something he's doing or saying.
He the best thing about his famous picture from Sunday night was he didn't say anything to Brady. He just stood there with a cheesy grin, with his arms folded, as if to say, what are you doing?
Yeah. What you got
for me? And the best is that he's like 6 feet shorter than Brady, too. So he's like a kid looking up. It's like Kevin Hart. And then Brady goes and turns to the ref and trying to laugh it off, you know. But you know it was, you could see behind that smirk of Brady's that he was dying inside.
But he was looking to the ref,
like, are you gonna let this fly? I mean, how many, again, going back to what Shannon Sharp complained about Brady, was like, quit being a self-entitled, crying, whiny little bitch when things don't go your way. And that's what he does. And y'all brought it up on the Instant Reaction show too, where you don't see even like Drew Brees never, was it y'all that brought that up? Like, Drew Brees never complained to the referees ever, no matter what happened. But you see guys like Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers who turn their head and look at their little best friends and like, how are you gonna let this happen to me? Every play they don't get the right.
Yep. I mean, he was yelling at a ref after he actually got the flag on that Gronk pass interference. He was yelling at the ref, and the ref had already thrown the flag. Then when he threw, I think it was when he threw that pick, he ran over to the Saints bench and told one of the coaches to go fuck himself.
Yeah, Ryan Nielsen, that was.
You know, I mean, it's like, and then, you know, you saw the thing with the tablet, that he threw the tablet.
Yeah.
It's like, quit being a little bitch. Like, I know you're losing and you're frustrated, but like, if any other quarterback does that, they're going to be calling him a bitch. Everybody else is like, oh, Tom Brady, he's so competitive. Blah, blah. Nah, dude, you're a bitch. Look,
I'm all about throwing the tablet in the middle of a game when you're mad. I'd be that guy too. I'd throw the tablet if I was that frustrated. So I'm not, but I'm also going to jump and make fun of him because it's Tom Brady with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and the Saints are the ones that beat him. So haha to you. But in reality, there's times where I would be upset if my quarterback didn't throw the tablet. Like, are you at all upset about your performance? You know what I mean? Like, if I was a Tampa Bay fan, I'd be happy that he threw the tablet, because it's otherwise you've got Aaron Brooks smiling after an interception. But I love that we made him throw the tablet. Like, I love what the throwing of the tablet symbolizes. This is also the first loss in Tom Brady's career where the opposing team did not score a touchdown. So he is now 63-1 in games where the other team scores less than 10. I like being on that side of the stat line.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a good one.
So this is the Reddit like that. So one guy comes in Reddit and he says, first loss where the team didn't score a touchdown. Next guy says, apparently Brady's 63-1 in games where the other team scores less than 10. And then a Saints fan pops in and says, keep going, I'm almost there. And then a Patriots fan actually comes in and says, the Saints have more wins against Tom Brady than the Buffalo Bills do. And then the Saints guy came back and says, oh yes, this is the one.
So that's an insane stat, that, isn't it? He's in the same division as Buffalo for, what, 16 years? And the Saints have been in the same division as Brady for 2 years and have got more wins.
That's right.
That's crazy. Cam Jordan got his 100th sack.
Yes, he did, didn't he?
His career.
He must have got some of that good COVID.
Over 100. Yeah, he must have. The rest did him well. But him and Ricky Jackson, only two over 100.
Yeah.
So he's got 15.5 to catch Ricky Jackson. 15.5 behind, isn't he?
I thought Ricky had 128.
It's 115.5, I think, isn't it?
100.5?
What?
I thought he's got 100. Yeah,
100.5.
Cam's got 100.5, yeah.
No, Jason, you're half paying attention. Ricky Jackson has 128 sacks.
Let's see. I saw a stat where it said it was 115.
That was before that was before he got to 128.
Well yeah, clearly.
before they started actually tracking sacks as a stat.
What?
They didn't start tracking sacks until like the early 80s. So he had sacks prior to when they actually started counting them.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Well, 128 is what's being used on the NFL's all-time sack list.
But wait, is that including San Francisco?
I would think that's total. Yeah.
So I think we were just
as a Saint. Okay, you're right. Okay, that might be James where you got your 115.
I think that's where I saw it. Yeah.
He had 128 overall, which puts him 15th in the NFL. Okay. And Jason, he only had 8 in 1981 before sacks were an official stat.
It's still an extra 8.
Yeah. So.
But do we see Cam Jordan getting to 115?
No.
I'm surprised it got to 100.
Do you see Cam Jordan playing next year?
Yes.
Yeah.
Year after?
But I think he'll be moved inside.
He did well when he moved inside in the game. They showed one play where he was lined up inside, and he
put Davenport outside.
I think the vision is you have your two young edge rushers, assuming they can stay healthy. That is, and you move Cam Jordan inside on passing.
Yeah, to go with
on passing downs.
It's pretty formidable.
No, it is. It is. Where would you put Cam Jordan in the list of all time Saints?
I saw this earlier on Twitter.
Yeah, I did too.
He's Ring of Honor level.
He was being ranked too highly, I think, from some of the people that I saw. Yeah, some people had him like fourth, and I'm like, not sure about that.
He's not that high. I mean, he's probably top 10, but he's not top 5.
What were top 3? Drew,
Ricky Jackson,
Willie Roaf. And Willie Roaf.
Yeah.
And then some people were putting him 4. I wouldn't put him 4. I mean,
I'd put Colston. I'd put Colston ahead of him.
Yeah, I would put Colston ahead of him. I would put maybe Morton Anderson ahead of him.
Yeah, Morton Anderson. Yeah. I'd maybe even think about putting some other members of the Dome Patrol ahead of him as well.
Pat Swilling, maybe.
Yeah.
Or Sam Mills.
Close. I mean, he's definitely the bottom of the top 10.
Yeah, I'd definitely say he would be top 10. I don't know if he's top 5.
No, I thought when people were saying he was 4th behind Roaf, Jackson and Breeze, I was like, yeah, I'm not sure about that. Anyway, I would definitely put
Colston ahead of him.
Yeah. We kind of cut the Chauncey Gardner-Johnson chat short because we then went back onto Brady. But, you know, the thing about CJGJ is not only does he talk shit, but he backs it up with his play on the field, which is unusual, I think. You're either a good player or you're a good trash talker. It's very rare you get the combination of the two. But the job he does, you know, since he came back from his injury, he's made a big difference to the defense.
Well, I was going to say, to add to that, the third element is what he does to inspire the rest of the defense. It's ridiculous. The impact. I mean, you think about it. While he was gone, that was a slump. And we talk about, I think Wes made a comment on the show when we were talking about the rest of the games. He's like, well, we can't afford to have any more injuries. And like, I get it. I don't want another injury either. I feel like we've met our quota. But at the same time, I look at it like if somebody were to get hurt, depending on who it is, it wouldn't hurt the team as much because we've actually gotten guys back. CJGJ's back. Kamara's back. I mean, at this point, besides Michael Thomas and Jameis Winston, who are permanent scratches, we're missing a couple of offensive linemen.
Yeah.
Or a few offensive linemen. But the defense is intact, and it showed.
Yeah, fully healthy on defense, yeah.
Yeah. So I think we could very well win out.
I think we will.
I think that puts us in the playoffs, right?
Yeah, 10-7 will get us in the playoffs.
I mean, do we? Are we gonna? Like, are we? Are
9-8 could get you in.
Are we in control of our own destiny? Where win and you're in, or do we still need somebody to lose even if we win?
I think we need the Vikings to lose one game, and then we control our own destiny because we hold the tiebreaker over Washington.
Okay,
I'm just not there yet.
I get it. I totally get it. Like, I'm not going to ridicule you for not being there. Or
Scott's just angry that we won more than one game.
No, I'm not at all. I told you I'm very happy about the fact that we're winning.
You sound
happy. I am extremely happy about that we're winning. I just don't.
Can't you tell it in his voice?
I can't put us winning out yet. I'm sorry. I just can't. I can't.
Who are you worried about?
Everyone except Carolina.
See, I would think Carolina is the one who would actually beat us, and only because for whatever reason, no matter how good or bad either team is, that for some reason is a great equalizer historically.
You're not worried about the Falcons?
Not as much this time around, although that is another equalizer type game. But the Falcons are falconing, so I'm not worried.
You're not worried about Miami?
Falcons is the only game I'm worried about.
Miami's more worried about Miami because I think the team might underestimate Miami.
I don't think Sean Payton's going to let them. Not with them winning that many straight like that.
Yeah.
I mean, I worry. We've had trouble, like I said earlier, with rushing quarterbacks, and Tua can run a little bit. So that, you know.
I've got another bit about that in game preview. Don't worry. I've been doing some homework for this one.
All right. Well, then let's jump into pick'ems. So this week was a horrible week for everybody because teams that should have won lost all across the board. And then teams that should have won, like us, all across the board. All right. Uncle Baby Billy, James, Jason, and Scott were all beaten by Wes. Wes went 3-2. You all went 2-3. And then for some weird reason, me and Ben went 1-4.
That's not really a weird reason.
Yes, that is off-brand for me. It's very on-brand for Ben. But it's off-brand for me this year. Actually, no, I'm always pretty good at pick-ups. Anyway, in the larger league, Allie Gibbs reclaims pole position with a 46-29 record, followed by Jake, and then me, and then Uncle Baby Billy. Wow, Uncle Baby Billy shot up to fourth place. Then Drew, and then Scott. I'm trying to see if there's not a whole lot. It's within reach, Scott.
I just want to finish ahead of Drew and Jake in the cat. Because I know your kids will talk smack to me for a year if they beat me in
pick. Oh, they will.
Oh, I know they will.
And Andrew's already asking to get back on the podcast. I can't say it on the show because he's going to listen to it, but some certain Christmas presents will help him become a podcaster if he so chooses that that's his
sense of humor.
And shit talking. All right, after Scott is Trevor Bruno, Big Easy Gaijon, Paul Perrette, and Tom Ensign, Dad just went. Then we move into the loser's bracket, which is led by Chris Farmer, and then James, and then Carp, and then Neil, way up high, Sans Hobbs, Mr. Coach Klein, Wes, the Mailman, Jambalaya Brothers, Ben, and even with your extra game this week, Jason, you have not reclaimed Ben. You are after Ben, but you are beating Drummer.
All right, so we have this week's slate of games. We will see what happens with COVID playing havoc with certain games. I mean, we still got two games tonight from last week, so hopefully these games don't get shuffled around again. I know the NFL got some new protocols, so we'll see what happens. But we'll start off with another Saturday game this week. We have the Indianapolis Colts coming off a nice home win against the Patriots. Travel to Arizona to play a Cardinals team that seems to be reeling after losing to Detroit.
Yeah, fuck Arizona and Kyler Murray for kicking me out of the playoffs this week in fantasy football.
Yeah, they
so this was a brutal week for fantasy.
It was horrible.
A lot of big time players did nothing, and a lot of unheralded players did really
Tom
well.
Tom Brady.
Right.
Kamara.
I mean, all the Bucs guys. Kamara, Jamar Chase had 3 yards.
Yeah.
It was Joe Mixon went out. You know, it was a rough week, and just another reason of why fantasy football sucks.
Yet we keep playing.
So this game's in Arizona, and the Cardinals are somehow favored by 1.5.
Now, Colts.
Wow.
I'm going to take the Colts as well.
I am also taking the Colts. Make it an Indy four-way.
Just on the games that are playing tonight, are those teams then playing on Sunday as well? Or have they moved there?
No.
No, they're playing on Sunday.
I suppose it's just the same as a Sunday, Thursday,
isn't
it?
Yeah.
Like this week we had games Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Thursday,
Saturday,
the double
Sunday, Sunday,
we had
Monday.
Two games last night, two games tonight.
Yes. So, I mean, it's wall-to-wall football right now.
Yeah. Sorry to interject there. I didn't know whether they'd moved their games next week to Monday or something to give them an extra day. No.
Nope.
Fine.
So we'll see. All right. Our next game, a battle of the AFC North. The Baltimore Ravens coming off a tough, tough loss against Green Bay. Went for 2 at the end to go for the win. Didn't get it, even though Hollywood Brown was wide open in the end zone. Don't know if Lamar is going to be playing this week. He did not play last week, but Hundley, I thought, did pretty well for himself. Couple of touchdowns running and passing. They travel to Cincinnati to play a Bengals team that came off a nice win in Denver, with the Broncos losing Teddy. I believe now Cincinnati, if the season ended today, Cincinnati would win that division. I know they have the same record as Baltimore.
But can you believe, I think Cleveland can actually win the division?
Well, they're 7-7. They're a game behind as of now.
Right. But isn't that crazy? Like Cleveland?
I mean, all of them.
Division winner? Cleveland.
It's possible. It's the NFL. That's what they want.
But it's Cleveland. It's like saying the Lions could beat the Cardinals or something.
What is this, the multiverse here? So this game's in Cincinnati, and the Bengals are favored by 2.5.
Man, that's a good line.
I'm going to go with the Ravens. I feel like Cincinnati still has to, you know, in these big games, they still have to prove it to me. They've had chances in these big games, and they've failed.
I
don't
Baltimore
quite trust
too.
Them yet. Yeah, I'm going to go with the Ravens. I don't trust the Bengals quite yet.
Is Lamar playing?
We don't know.
I'm going to take Cincinnati. They're in a must-win situation, and I believe in Joe Burrow.
Wait, Joe Burrow plays for Cincinnati?
That's what I heard.
Oh, well, hold on. Well, I might have to change my pick then. I was going to take the Ravens, but now I'm going to have to take Cincinnati now.
I made a good point.
Yeah.
Scott takes the Bengals. Shocker.
I'm rolling with Brian Kelly.
Again, it's another one of my tactics. Just throw Cincinnati's game in there every week. We know where Scott's going.
Well, he won't catch me because I picked with him.
Our next game, man, we do have a lot of good games. Finally, we got a really, really good slate of games. Our next game, the Buffalo Bills coming off a big win against the Panthers. I mean, easy win against the Panthers this week. Travel New England to pay a Patriots that are coming off a loss against Indianapolis. You know, really, really massive game for both teams, but especially Buffalo. They can't afford any more losses. It's in New England, and the Pats are favored by 2.5. I would assume the weather conditions are going to be much, much different this time compared to their last game.
Pats are favored by 2.5?
2.5.
I'm going to take Buffalo.
Why?
Because Buffalo couldn't beat the Saints while Tom Brady was there, but now they can. I mean,
okay,
I messed that up, but you know.
Yeah, big time.
I heard it after I said it.
I think I had a stroke when you said that.
I feel like Monica.
Lewinsky?
No, Jason knows. She's at the Christmas party. She strung together a few words that didn't go together in an attempt to form a sentence. That's how drunk she was.
Gotcha. Since Jeff took the Bills, I'm taking the Patriots.
I'm going to take the Patriots at home.
right. And I'm going to go with Buffalo.
Why?
Did he just ask Jeff why?
Well, because I wanted to take Buffalo. That's all.
Reverse psychology.
Something like that. All right. Our next game, the Los Angeles Rams, who are playing tonight due to COVID. So we don't know what their situation is. They travel to Minnesota to play a Vikings team coming off a win last night against the Bears. Minnesota sitting at 7-7, same record as the Saints. You know, Rams have been playing better as of late. But we'll see what happens tonight. But it's in Minnesota. Vikings are getting 3 at home.
Oh, I'm sorry. Who was the visitors?
The Rams.
The Rams.
I was texting Andrew because he wanted to hop on for a minute.
Rams for me, please.
I am going to take the Rams as well.
See, normally I would take the Rams. I'm just worried about them playing tonight and having a quick turnaround.
From a Saints perspective, we could really do with the Rams winning. That's not why I've picked them, but we could do with the Rams winning this game.
What's the spread?
Minnesota's favored by 3.
Vikings are getting 3 at home.
Oh, they're getting 3.
That's correct.
I'm going to take the Rams.
I am also taking the Rams.
Wow. All right, and now our shitty game of the week.
Shitter was full!
Have yourself a shitty little Christmas.
And you'll never guess what team is in the shitty game. I believe they were in the shitty game last week.
Would this be the Jags, maybe?
That's correct. They don't have their coach. Yeah, the Jacksonville Jaguars coming off a loss to Houston last week. And with Detroit's win, Jacksonville is now in the driver's seat to get the number one overall pick again. they travel to New York to play a Jets team. Did the Jets win this week, or they were just mighty frisky?
No, they were frisky.
They were winning up until, what, the third or fourth quarter?
Yeah, they played the Dolphins close. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Hey, Gunn.
So this game is in New York, and the Jets are favored by 2.5.
I'm going to have to take Jacksonville.
Yeah, me too.
I'm going to go ahead and grab the Jets.
Then I will take the Jaguars.
So before we get to Uncle Baby Billy, I will give the summary of the games. You've got Indy at Arizona. The Cardinals are favored by 1.5. Baltimore at Cincinnati. The Bengals are favored by 2.5. Buffalo at New England. New England favored by 2.5. Rams at the Vikings. The Vikings are catching 3 points at home. And then our shitty game, the Jaguars at the Jets. Jets favored by 2.5.
All right. Don't forget, everybody, we have Saturday games. So get your picks in before kickoff on Saturday. What is it, night or afternoon? Do we know?
It's night, I think, because it's Christmas Day, isn't it? So it'll be a night game.
All right. Let's get into, Gunn came and went. We lost Jason.
Yeah, Jason did not hang around after Pick'em City. He was like,
no, he didn't.
I'm out.
Right. All right. Let's jump into Saints preview.
Santa Claus is on his way, his loaded goodies on his sleigh. Drop him off on Christmas Day, and I'll say, howdy ho!
Mr. Hanky, shh, I'll get in trouble.
Folks will gather around the fire, sing a song, and they'll require a prayer, so they'll all return. I'll say, howdy ho!
And this is James. You said you have a few points you want to bring up about the Saints playing against the Miami Dolphins.
Yeah, just having a look around various different articles and Twitter today. I've taken a couple of pictures. First thing to say is they have the worst offensive line in football. The Dolphins offensive line is 29th out of 32 is their ranking for their offensive line. So should the defensive line of the Saints show up this week, they could feast again. So I think that's a massive thing for the Saints to try and hit. Tua, whilst he's a good scrambler, does not look good under pressure. So I think that's definitely somewhere where the Saints can take advantage.
You're talking about as far as throwing the ball?
What's that, sorry?
So if he's under pressure, he's not completing passes well.
He's off. He's like a Taysom.
Yeah. But he can run. No.
Yeah, he can. He can
run.
So
he's like a Taysom.
Yeah, basically.
But, you know, but then, you know, if we're getting pressure on him like we got pressure on Brady as quickly as we did, he's not going to be able to run. Because the Saints were collapsing the pocket, weren't they? They were not allowing any kind of... I mean, Brady's not a scrambler, but he could not escape the... could not escape the pocket. And that's, you know, having a dominant offensive line, a defensive line this week is going to go a long way to helping us win the game on that one. And the other point, Scott, you've said a few times the fact that they're on, was it 7-game winning run? They've won 7 games in a row. Yes. Do you know they've played in those 7 games?
No. Who?
Texans.
Okay.
Ravens.
Okay.
Jets twice, the Panthers, and the Giants. That's their 7-game winning streak.
So we've lost to the Giants.
We've lost to the Giants and the Panthers, yes.
Yes.
We have.
But I get your point. It's not against great teams.
It's not murderer's row, is it?
No, it is not. Obviously, it's a winnable game, right? It's just going out and executing and doing it.
Yeah.
But like I said, we lost to Carolina and to the Giants.
Well, there's a star next to the Carolina loss. We didn't have a fucking coaching staff, Scott.
We didn't have a coaching staff this past game, Jeff. Oh, we didn't have.
Oh, we had it. We didn't have a head coach.
We didn't have a head coach. We were missing all of our coaching staff. It was the second game of the year. All had COVID. We were displaced by Hurricane Ida. There's a whole lot of reasons that loss is explainable.
The Miami game for the Saints, like I was just saying, is a winnable game for sure. It's just going out.
I'm gonna harp on my point for a minute. A lot of people forget that, and they forget why. Right? I mean, if you think about, like, even going back to NBC about the Saints, like, a lot of people don't really understand what's going on with the New Orleans Saints this season, and they're writing it off like, "Oh, Drew Brees left, so the team fell apart." No, we're a damn good football team. We just had more adversity. No other team has had to face the kind of adversity that the Saints have had to face, except maybe the Tennessee Titans and maybe the Baltimore Ravens with the number of injuries on their team, on their roster. But we win that battle because we also had Hurricane Ida and COVID impact our team more than any other team on top of the plethora of injuries.
Yep. I mean, I agree.
And
I
yet
mean,
we're still going to make the fucking playoffs.
I said in the chat, this is the ultimate what if season for the Saints, isn't it? You know, what if Winston hadn't got injured?
Right.
What if the Hurricane
deserved to be the coach of the year?
I agree.
Actually, the win without him probably made him lose coach of the year. Coaching staff of the year, yes.
James and I were talking about this before. Is Dennis Allen back as DC next year? Or does he go get a head coaching job?
I think everybody's kind of landing on the same thing. He's going to interview probably if that's what he wants in life. He's done the head coach thing. Maybe he likes what's going on here. I mean, Pete Carmichael could have probably interviewed and gotten head coaching.
How long has
jobs.
He been here?
He was appointed DC in 2015.
So I swear, I feel like it's only been 3 years.
It's only been 3 years since they've been good. It took that long to get the defense in.
Maybe.
Or to get the players to fit his system.
Well, no, 2018. You know? I mean, we were like that Minnesota miracle year.
Yeah,
like
that
was 2017.
Okay, so 15. So 2 years to fix all the problems, and then they've been a decent good defense.
Yeah.
And then the last 2 years, they've been a great defense. Just because you're a good coordinator doesn't make you a good head coach.
I agree with that.
He's been a head coach.
But I don't know if he
miserably.
Knows that. I don't know if he knows that. Yeah, but I know. With the Raiders.
I know, and then it depends on his goals, right? He may, if I'm hoping that he looks at it like, you know what, been there, tried that. I didn't like being a head coach. I don't like having to worry about all that shit. I want to focus on the defense. That's what I want to do. And when he does that and he focuses on it, he can produce the best defense in the NFL. A lot of guys go on, make him the highest paid coordinator in the NFL.
I got a feeling he's going to want at least one more shot at it.
Well,
especially after this past game, getting the reins again and being like, ooh, I forgot how much I like this.
It's different thing, when you're not with the Raiders.
Right.
When you're working with a defense that you built.
Exactly. You know, there's going to be 3 or 4 head coaching jobs. There are every year. There's turnover every year. Jacksonville's won. There'll be more.
Chicago.
Chicago will probably be one. You know, the Raiders, I guess technically will have one.
Houston.
He won't go back to the Raiders. I don't know that he'll be here next year is, I guess, where I'm getting at.
Well, I wonder whether we might get one more year out of him because I guess it depends what happens at quarterback with us next year. You know, if we get quarterback, Michael Thomas comes back, the offensive line is healthy, this team with the defense, the way it's set up, could be a problem.
I don't know that Michael Thomas plays another down for the Saints.
I think we've got another year before we can get out cheaply.
I don't know what I want. I don't. There's a part of me that would hope that that's a true statement. There's another part of me that says, like, we need him. I'm willing to put up with his bullshit for another year if it means having a receiver of that caliber, at least until we can find suitable replacements. Because it's going to take two receivers to replace him.
Not necessarily.
Well, yeah, it will.
Unless you get like
depends on who you get somebody in free agency.
I mean, we went from Colston to him, so I mean, it stands to reason that we could.
You could get somebody in free agency too, and
yeah. But going back to the Dolphins game, so do you know the Saints have run the ball 47% of the time this year, which is the fifth highest rate in the NFL? I didn't realize we were the fifth most running team in the NFL. Dolphins allow 4.3 yards per carry, so
could be a Kamara
this could
game.
Be a Kamara game, which Scott, you need for the playoffs, right?
Yes, I do.
In your little fantasy,
little fantasy world.
Now the Dolphins get 72% of their offensive yards through the air, which is the sixth highest passing percentage in the NFL. But we are much better in the last few weeks, allowing just 4.6 yards per pass attempt. 4.6 per attempt, not completion, attempt.
Yeah. The secondary have really stepped up in the past few weeks.
We haven't really let up a touchdown up. Since October or November or something. What was it?
Lattimore is playing like the best corner in football at the moment. You know, Roby and Adebo are doing a good job on the other side. Marcus Williams is playing himself into a huge contract this offseason.
Dude, he's had a great year. A couple of stupid, typical Marcus Williams plays, but a great
Dallas
year.
Touchdown. And yeah. You know, PJ Williams is playing really well this year.
Right?
That hit on Godwin, fair, legal hit. Nothing wrong with it.
I like to chalk that up to karma.
Yep.
Because isn't it the same injury that Jameis Winston got?
Yep.
Absolutely.
ACL.
But the difference is Jameis, his hit was a horse collar, an illegal play, and this one was a legal play.
That's why it's karma. The football gods are righting the ship.
They are. So, I'm not worried by Miami's passing attack against our secondary. I am worried about any attempt of us passing the ball on Monday night because Miami have got two really good cornerbacks. Is it Byron Jones and Xavier Howard? That's probably one of the best combos in the league. And, you know, our wide receivers don't do a good job of getting open. Which is why I think, to your point earlier on, this could be a run the ball type of game.
Right. Well, I mean, it suits the Saints, right? If you have a team that can't stop the run and you Taysom Hill's your quarterback.
And Kamara's running back and Ingram's your running back.
You run.
Yeah.
Heavy. So
I agree.
Four predictions, everybody.
So the past two games I've picked the Saints to lose and we've won. So therefore I need to pick them to lose again. Right?
I forgot you picked us to lose to the Jets.
Is that how it goes? Is that how it goes? Right? Does that sound
I think you need to go with it. Yeah.
Okay.
Superstitious and all that.
So I will say 15-9 Miami. All field goal game. Both sides of the ball.
My God.
All field goals.
Saints 17, Miami 10.
17-10. All right.
Yeah.
Okay, the Saints have let up an average of 20 points a game. Miami has let up an average of 22 points a game. Miami.
You go in 22-20 then, Jeff.
That sounds like it would.
You would, but Miami, and now I'm definitely putting Miami at 20 because their offense has scored an average of 20 per game. And the Saints have let up 20 per game. So, yes, Miami's going to put up 20. The Saints offense, however, has scored an average of 22 points per game. Holy shit. Yes, I'm going 22 to 20.
There you go.
Wow. So our offensive average is the same as their defensive average and vice versa. 22-20 Saints. Mark it, book it, bet it.
Get Gunn to put money. Yeah, Gunn right? needs to put some money on that.
Which means what? 22-23. What's the over under? I don't know math. 22 plus 23 is what?
Well, 22 plus 20 is 42, Jeff.
Oh, that's, yeah. What am I getting 23 from?
I don't know.
42, well, look, which is Gunn's number.
Yeah.
42.
If you add a zero.
Well, it depends on where you place the decimal.
So the last time the Saints played the Dolphins was a game I was actually at because it was in London. And that finished 20-0 to the Saints. So yeah, that was
20 4 years ago.
It's all coming up 20.
It is. Wow. I will take 22-0 Saints. I will also accept that.
Yeah, imagine, that would be good.
What if the Saints pitched two shutouts in a row, which is possible? Four in a row is possible considering who the opponents are.
So three games without conceding a touchdown. Has that ever happened to the Saints before?
Has it ever happened to any football team?
I'd be surprised if it's ever happened to
I don't think you do.
Surely the Ravens, that the team the Ravens had in, what, the one 2005? They won the Super Bowl, didn't they? They only conceded like 170 points in 16 games or something. There must have been a couple of shutouts there.
Okay, so the most consecutive shutout games won or tied was 13 by the Akron Pros. Let's not count them.
No.
Over the 2020-21 seasons. They finished 1920. But the most consecutive shutouts in the modern era is 3. This was accomplished by the 1970 St. Louis Cardinals. Three straight shutout wins. And the 76-77 Steelers.
That doesn't surprise me. Yeah,
that is three straight shutout wins in the middle of the season. And also had two straight shutout wins at the end of the regular season. They had five in that 1 year. Okay, I got a new respect for that defense.
That's impressive.
And a shutout in week one of the 77 season. Wow. So they did three, and then they did three with two and then one, but like technically three.
Regular season games
in a row. Holy shit.
Wow.
Okay.
Yeah, that's impressive.
Yeah. So, all right, Saints. Here we go. That's one. I think if there's ever a team that could do four in a row with the lineup we have in front of us, Miami, Carolina, Atlanta, the Saints could, in theory, break the NFL record for most shutouts in a row.
It's two games at home, isn't it? And the Falcons game in the last week is away.
Yeah.
Is at Atlanta.
Which is a home game for us.
Might as well be a home game for us, yeah.
Especially this year. So I love the 180 I've done because – 2-3 weeks ago, I was with Scott that we weren't going to win more than two more games. Now I'm saying we're going to break the record for the most shutouts. We're going to enter the playoffs, and then we're going to win a championship because the defense. Yeah, well, the Baltimore Ravens did it with.
Yeah, we're going to win. We're going to win a Super Bowl with Brett Maher kicking field goals.
Well, that's the irony, right? That's the price that we paid at the beginning of this year with the quarterback, the injuries, the coaching, the COVID, and the kicking situation. How poetic would it be if we win this whole thing like that? Scott's like, this is
sure.
All right. I want what you're saying.
Yeah. Write a letter to Santa.
I don't think Scott is sharing your optimism, Jeff.
Well, I said in the beginning that the Saints defense gave us for Christmas a new hope.
There you go.
I didn't say a new hope.
They gave us Star Wars.
That's right. All right. Any final thoughts, guys?
Merry Christmas to all the listeners out there. And I don't know if we'll do another show before New Year's, but Happy New Year as well.
I think we will.
We'll do an instant reaction. It's a reaction show.
Yes. So just Merry Christmas, everyone. Have a safe and happy holiday. And hope you get everything you and Jeff wish for.
You have anything for our non-Christian listeners? Or just Merry Christmas?
Happy Hanukkah.
That's past.
I think it's still going on.
No, it's over.
You sure?
Yeah.
I don't know about that.
Okay.
Take it from a
with your surname, should you not know?
No, I don't know. Sorry.
Okay.
You would think, but no.
Yeah, just think that, yeah. Nah.
Happy holidays. Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. You know what? Merry Christmas to everyone.
Okay. He went all the way around the horn and back to Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to everyone, whether you celebrate it or not. Merry Christmas.
Right? What's South Park? Is it some Mr. Hanky the Christmas Pooh or something?
Oh, yeah.
Is it Mr. Hanky the Christmas Pooh? Played on the Instant Reaction Show, which I love, which was, hey, Mr. Whoever, and Merry fucking Christmas and yada, yada, yada.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We didn't really touch on it earlier on, but that was an elite Instant Reaction Show this week.
That was very good.
I had fun listening to that on the way to work on Monday morning. Yeah.
Very good Instant Reaction.
Professionally hosted.
I felt the air of fun and excitement, and it was lifted by the Saints win, but also it flowed really well.
Yeah, it was an elite Instant Reaction this week.
Good job.
It was
good to be back. So, good to be back on the winning.
Jason's really coming into his hosting abilities, right? To 11, 12 years into it.
Maybe we need a new host.
But he's the backup. But again, if you think about it, Jason's got, as far as hosts go,
he's got his own bloody podcast he doesn't host. So
that's true.
Right. He's the Chase Daniel of hosting, I guess you could say. I'm the Drew Brees, in case you're wondering.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Thanks for clarifying.
Right. And Ben is Matt Ryan.
Am I Joe Burrows? That's what the Tigers did.
Yep. You're Joe Burrow. Okay.
James, you're the Ronaldo.
I'll take that.
Gunn is the Stone Cold Steve Austin.
I was gonna say John Daly, but
Well,
he cut the mullet, so you can go Stone Cold.
Well, he doesn't. He cut it off.
And that's what I'm saying. He cut it off.
Yeah. Ric Flair. Yeah. He's the Ric Flair.
I was very disappointed to see the mulletless Gunn when he popped on very briefly before.
Mankind? Is he Mankind? He's Mick Foley? No. Anyway, that's all the show we have for you right now. We're going to thank our loyal listeners for downloading each week and telling all of your friends about the Dome Patrol United Podcast Network, where you only have to subscribe to one feed to receive multiple podcasts, including the 2-Point Conversion Instant Reaction Show, the Dome Patrol Podcast, the BS and Beer Saints Podcast, the Pelican Plunge, the Premier League Podcast, Taking the Over with Billy Gunn, and the Tiger's Den. Follow each show on Twitter. Just listen to the show to get their Twitter handle, but ours is Dome Patrol PCast and Dome Patrol UK. Follow us on Facebook for whenever we do live streams, and if you want to participate in game day chat, DM us on Twitter to get an invitation to the Dome Patrol Discord server. And if you want to listen to us the old-fashioned way, go to Dome Patrol Podcast.
I come.
Say bye-bye, doggies.
Bye-bye, Grinch donkeys. Good night, Nudat Nation.
You're a vile one, Mr. Grinch. You have termites in your smile. You have all the tender sweetness of a seasick crocodile, Mr. Grinch. Given a choice between the two of you, I'd take the seasick crocodile. Mr. Grinch, you're a nasty, wasty skunk. Your heart is full of unwashed socks, your soul is full of gunk, Mr. Grinch. The three words that best describe you are as follows, and I quote: stink, stank, stunk.